Good evening. This is Justice David Justice. Interim, I'm going to emphasize with great emphasis. It is an interim capacity. I'm a placeholder merely, and I've been asked to speak again this evening. I'd like to start with a prayer, and so I will. Father, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your spirit lead us and guide us into all truth. And may your spirit endow us with the presence of mind to understand that we are, in fact, the body of Christ, which is your temple on earth, as it is in heaven. May your will be done. In Yeshua's name, amen. Mark, I'd like to go ahead and begin by asking if anyone is here that needs to be sworn into a respective office, if you raise your hand and we will take care of that.
If I could only interject, sir, I just want to say it's February 23, 2025 for the purpose of the oath and everything. So, yep.
Oh, and thank you very much, Mark. Thank you very much.
Appointment letters as well.
Would you repeat that last?
Oh, those people need to have their appointment letters as well before they're
their appointment letters. Got it.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
I have my appointment letter. Do I need to do anything besides that, besides take the oath? This is Karen Reeves.
Nope. That's all you need to do.
Well, I'd like to take mine.
Okay.
I've got my letter from Sandra.
Hello, Karen. If you'll repeat after me, we'll put this behind us. Thank you for stepping up, and thank you for answering the call.
If I may interject,
so if you'll please
do. She has the option to swear or affirm. You might want to ask her which one to do. She wants to do.
Swear.
Karen, could you tell me your last name again?
Reeves, R-E-E-V-E-S.
Karen, if you'll raise your hand, and you are standing before the Almighty, our Father in heaven. Repeat after me. I, Karen Reeves.
I, Karen Reeves.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that, there you go. And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
That I will and faithfully discharge.
The duties of this office.
The duties of this office.
On which I am about to enter.
On which I'm about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God. Amen and amen and amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's my second time.
Congratulations, Karen. Which state did you say you were from? Your position?
From Texas. Yeah. Last time I did that was in 1979 when I went into the Air Force, which unfortunately was the other one. But thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'll mute myself now.
Texas Justice, thank Karen? You. Okay.
Yes, what I understood, Mark.
Okay,
Mark, you're free, and I take no offense. You're free to interrupt me at any time if you have a point of order that, or if you want to make a distinction. So I will yield. So feel free to interrupt. Okay, Mark.
Okay.
May I? This is John Herman, Texas. I apologize for interrupting, kind of stalling things here a little bit. I do have my appointment letter from Sandy. But I have not completed any of the forms that I thought that I had to do. What should I be doing next? Would we proceed with an oath, or do I need to get the forms in first?
It's my understanding, Mark. If you have an appointment letter, then you're prepared for the oath. Mark, do you agree?
Yes, I agree. Documents are a formality that you and your governor can deal with, I guess, Sandy.
So. Okay, Mark. Sir, please tell me your name again.
John Herman.
John Herman.
Yes.
Hello, John Herman. If you'll stand and raise your right hand and stand before the throne of our Heavenly King and our Almighty Father and repeat after me. I, John Herman, do solemnly swear.
I, John Herman, do solemnly... No, that's fine. Swear is fine. I, John Herman, do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will... Well and faithfully.
And that I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties of the office.
Discharge the duties of the office.
On which I am about to enter.
On which I'm about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Congratulations, John. What position are you in Texas?
Justice. County Justice for Guadalupe County.
All right. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you again, John. Appreciate it. Is there anyone else that would like to give you a minute in case you haven't quite figured out the unmute button?
Excuse me. This is Wyoming Interim Governor Ron DeBetter. I have a justice candidate coming on. I need to tell him how to unmute. Chad, if you hear me, it's star 6. He is trying to get on here. He's had his appointment letter for a while. Let me send him that message right now on wire. Is that okay? Pardon?
Oh, this is Chad, Justice Wyoming.
Okay, great. There he is. Go ahead, Chad.
Chad. Thank you. Thank you. So Chad, and your last name, sir?
Conley.
I'm sorry.
C-O-N-L-E-Y.
You broke a little bit. One more time.
Yep, it's Chad Conley,
C-O-N-L-E-Y. Got it. Thank you, Chad Conley. If you'll stand and raise your hand, you're standing before the throne of our Father. Repeat after me. I, Chad Conley.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Okay. That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation. And what was the next part, sorry?
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully.
I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties of the office.
Discharge the duties of the office.
On which I am about to enter.
On which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me Yahweh.
Thank you. It's on you. Thank you. Congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you.
And thank you for stepping up.
Yeah, absolutely.
All
thank
right.
You guys.
Appreciate you. If there's anyone else, we're going to give a couple more seconds here to, in case someone has to figure out the unmute button.
This is Bill Lee. I'm ready to take my oath.
Thank you, Bill. Bill, tell me your last name again, sir.
Lee, L-double-E.
Bill Lee. Thank you, Bill. If you'll stand and raise your right hand, you're before the throne of our Father. And repeat after me, I, Bill Lee, do solemnly swear or affirm, and you can choose which one or say both.
I, Bill Lee, do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the same.
To the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully.
And that I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties of the office.
Discharge the duties of the office.
On which I am about to enter.
On which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God. Amen.
Congratulations. Thank you. Congratulations. And welcome.
Thank you.
Hey, Bill, what state are you with and what position again?
Texas, County Justice.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
Stand by for a minute for anyone else that might want to. Okay. Well, it is Sunday, February 23rd. It's about 6:15 p.m. Tonight I wanted to reflect on the subject of reality as it pertains to, quote, one nation under God, end quote, as we see that phrase in what is called the Pledge of Allegiance. Just a brief background of the Pledge of Allegiance. Francis Bellamy, Christian socialist back in the late 1800s, put the Pledge of Allegiance together. And I understand, it's my understanding, I might be wrong. I don't champion that I'm right about everything, so I'm always learning. But it's my understanding that the term One Nation Under God was not in the original, but it became part of the pledge later. And the distinction is really important to me, whether it was placed under Francis Bellamy's original draft or whether it was added later, the distinction that it's been my experience that when I watch people take the pledge or I listen to the pledge, I wonder how many people are actually listening to the words. A pledge of allegiance is no small thing. And the Pledge of Allegiance, the most important, the highlight of it to me is the part where we pledge to be one nation under God. Not two, not three, not I'll do it my perspective and you do it yours. It's one nation under God. And distinguishing what that means, I think we could spend our entire lives reflecting on it, and I think we're supposed to, because there's only one nation under Yahweh, our Father, the Creator. There's only one, and that one is the kingdom of heaven. Another way of understanding that is the one kingdom of truth, the one kingdom that is. The only non-narrative in existence, it's the narrow path, the small gate, and only a few enter in, because we've got so many narratives going on in our minds that it's difficult to distinguish the truth from the narrative. Now, I've spent a little time in jail fighting for the Republic as I understood, as I understand it to be. And I actually spent a few years back in the 90s, someone told me I could drive without a license or, you know, the right to travel. And so I decided to offer myself to the experiment, as I thought of it. I saw myself as a scout. I'll go out and do that and see if it's true. And so I did that for a few years. And then into it a few years, I met up with someone on the in Oregon who was issuing driver's licenses. And so I decided to go ahead and get myself a driver's license from the kingdom of heaven and operated a vehicle for travel on the public highways as a matter of right. And if I got pulled over, I decided to go ahead and offer up my kingdom of heaven driver's license. And I showed him my passport and my license plates were even on the vehicle. And of course, you know, I got arrested and I was manhandled. I'm not black. I'm totally white. And I learned real quick that, you know, when you're taking a stand for freedom or principles, the cops typically don't care. They are automatons that have a duty to perform, and they perform that duty. If they don't understand it, they do it anyway because they are living inside of a world of peer pressure, and their peers would ostracize them if they didn't go along with the program as it was. And I know this to be true because I had more than a few cops while I was in the back seat or when I was on the side of the road explaining to them my position about the right to travel and my affiliation and my allegiance to the kingdom of heaven. They were intrigued, and several told me that they loved what I was doing, but they could never admit it out loud. So when I was in jail once for offering a false or fictitious ID and driving a vehicle with false or fictitious plates because the ID had Kingdom of Heaven on it and so did the license plate, I made the argument, what is real? What is fictitious? What does false and fictitious even mean? You know, we read the gospel and we hear about the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, it's the most talked about subject that came off the lips of our Messiah. And we still today are so divided in our religions, in our denominations. at last count, and this was years ago, I was told there was 1,800 different denominations. That doesn't sound like one nation under God. That sounds like a nation divided against itself. And there's one thing I can guarantee about nations divided against themselves, or houses divided against themselves, or any endeavor on this planet where people are looked to act as a team or a nation or a purpose, it won't stand if they're divided. Divided, we are conquered. Divide and conquer is the enemy's primary tool. And 100% of the time, I guarantee you, and Paul Harvey said this first back in this, I don't know, 60s or 70s. He said, if I was the devil, the first thing I would do is infiltrate the church and stir division in the church. And I guarantee you, you know, the battle that we're fighting on this planet comes down to this. Really, it's this simple. Truth versus a narrative about truth. And there's an infinite number of narratives about the truth, and there's only one truth. Truth is the only non-narrative. You know, I've been hearing a lot about the religious test under Section 6 of the Constitution for the United States. And, you know, you can't require a religious test as a obligation to hold office. And I would offer this for your consideration. Truth is not religion. Religion is not truth. Truth simply is. And our mission on this planet is to walk in the truth. But how can we walk in the truth if we don't come into the truth? And if we don't come into the truth, then we're stuck in our narrative. And if we're not operating in our authentic being, who I am, understanding that the Father is in me and I'm in the Father, and Christ in me is the hope of glory, and I am the temple of the Holy Spirit with my brothers and sisters who occupy that same temple within which our Father occupies. And inside that dynamic, we are one nation under God, indivisible. And inside the one nation under God, indivisible, we find alliance. And when we give our allegiance, when we pledge our allegiance to that idea and are willing to be wrong about what we thought was right, when we get to a place in our understanding where we realize that my perspective is not true, it's an opinion, and if I take my opinion and throw it out there, then I'm living inside of a projection, and I actually create the circumstances of my life through a projection that I'm putting on to the people around me and the circumstances around me. And if I'm living inside that perception, I'm still in the trap called the world. You know, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of this world. Now, that idea is the idea that we are trapped and we're fighting our way like wheat in a field and growing inside this wheat field that's full of weeds. The weeds are there. The angels were in the parable shared by the Messiah. The angels were told not to pull up the weeds because they might pull up the wheat. Let them grow together until the time of the end, and in the end time, pull up the weeds and gather them into the barn to be burned. To me, that what that represents, and I'm not saying this is true, I'm saying what it represents to me, subject to change as I continue to grow and understand truth, what it means to me is that there's a time coming when we will understand the truth, but until that time, we're surrounded by the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of wealth that choke out the planet. One of the time, I guarantee me, sends among us weeds. The enemy sends among us narratives, throws demonic ideas at us constantly, And we're always facing the stress of trying to choose what's true and what's not true. And it is a stress. And we find ourselves on our knees and we pray. And sometimes we have so many voices in our head, it's really hard to distinguish which one is the spirit of truth. But I guarantee you there's one. And the more we practice praying and looking for that spirit, that one faith, that one Lord, that one unity, that one Father, that one Creator, that one idea, that one reality, until we come into that, we're still fighting inside of a delusion that's so powerful that even the very elect be deceived if it was possible. The enemy that we are fighting is within our own mind. If we knew the truth, we wouldn't be fighting a battle anymore. We'd be walking in the truth. The enemy that we're fighting always likes to control the opposition. I started saying earlier that no matter what church, no matter what organization, whether it be the Republic or whether it be, academia, the enemy always infiltrates 100% of the time. 100. It's upon us to know that. Like Paul Harvey said, if I was the devil, the first thing I would do is take over the church. Well, if that's happened, you got to ask yourself, the church is teaching us about Scripture is actually true. How much of it is a projection that is designed to enslave us in a delusion that is so powerful that even the very elect could be deceived in? Don't believe that's possible. Look at all of the Christian denominations on this planet and ask, why aren't they operating as one? The answer is because they're operating within a narrative. And every one of them is right. Just ask them. And therein lies the problem. Now we get ego in the way and we get one-upmanship. We get, vested in I got a degree from this or that college, and so I've got to teach it this way. The PhDs are the worst because, they got a eye on the wall. So they know what the truth is. Just ask them. And so by this arrogance and conceit, they wander the earth looking for proselytes. And when Christ, the Son of Hell, is them. They're no different than the Sadducees.
Point of order.
And it's unfortunate.
Sir, your microphone, I think, is maybe coming in and coming out. If you got an external microphone, could you maybe not use that?
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt.
All right. Sorry about that, folks.
It's okay.
It's difficult to have a conversation without pacing, but I'll sit down.
Okay.
Thank you for calling my attention to that, Mark.
Yes, sir. There's still a little bit of clicking, but I think we can get through it.
Okay. I'll arrange the headphones a little differently. The Sadducees of the day of the Messiah murdered him because he had the audacity to challenge their narrative. They were operating inside of a narrative that they projected onto the people of Israel was true. Messiah came along and challenged that narrative, challenged their capacity, and he was murdered for it. And he said that we would be too, that we would be thrown in jail, that we would be, for that is because the world operates inside of a bubble. The love of money, the love of position, the love of fame, the love of rank, the love of I'm better than you, this egotistical need that we feed so that we get to be somebody, and then we, identity gets wrapped up in that need to be somebody.
And as a result of our need to be somebody or look better than somebody else, which is actually a psychopathic, narcissistic way of being, create division and quarreling among us. At what cost? What has it gained? Humility doesn't mean doormat. You know, when a Messiah talked about humility, he didn't mean you lay down and let people walk over the top of you. So doesn't mean that you don't speak up. And from a place here to know the truth, and I want to discuss what is fake, what is real. Because when we look at the world as it is today, and we think of the United States of America and the 50 sovereign states which comprise it, and we talk about one nation under God, and the world, the institutions of the world, they dismiss out from one nation under God, offensive to some people, because not everybody believes in God. Well, that's like saying I don't believe in truth. Because the way I understand Scripture is when the Messiah stood before Pilate, he said, I come to bear witness to the truth. His truth is the gospel. His truth, the truth that he spoke, he was here on a rescue mission. He was the second Adam. He came to reestablish what was lost in the garden. He came to bring life and immortality through his gospel. He came to demonstrate the truth. And so he walked the planet. He showed us what it means to be alive, what the real purpose of reality is his demonstration here. This is what's possible. And so he walked and he talked, and his ministry was a demonstration of reality. We are here 2,000 years later, and we still haven't figured that out as a people. His kingdom is not of this world, and thank God that it's not, because if it was, it would look like every other kingdom on this planet. It is ruled and narcissism and the need to be right and the need to look good and the need to, you know, step on other people to get into a position of authority. And, you know, what is this nonsense? That's not power. That's wrapping yourself up or ourselves up. If we do that, wrapping ourselves up in a position and puffing our chest out, go, yeah, well, I'm so-and-so. You know, and that's the world, and that's what the world's all made of. You know, when I was in my 20s, I was all proud that I was the president of a corporation that I had started. You know, that delusion lasted for a while until I realized that that came with a huge responsibility. And then I wasn't so forward to tell everybody I was the president of a corporation that I created. Being a judge, being a president, being a legislator, you know, those are positions of service, not authority. Yeshua said the least of the greatest. You know, we don't lord it over. He said, you know, don't lord over those people over which we've been given to lead. We serve them. He garment and put a towel around him, and he washed the feet of his apostles, his disciples. And Peter said, oh, no, not me. And he said, you don't let me, you have no part with me. He turned Yeshua the world upside down relative to what the world was authority. The least is the greatest. America's founders, and it makes sense to me, saying it's true, but sure. They understood that. And they looked at the King of England and said, you know, you're a criminal. You don't deserve the position that you're walking around in, and we're going to notify you that you are a tyrant, a fake, and we are no longer subject to your alleged authority, because your authority does not come from God. It comes from the world. And so the Declaration of Independence was written as a throwing off of the divine right of kings, which until that time was the way the world worked. It was sanctioned by the church, and it was sanctioned by the state, and everybody went along with it. And if you didn't like it, you were killed or thrown in jail, and your freedom was deprived. Constitution comes along and says no religious tests shall be required. This is where life gets really interesting. One nation under God. That's not a religious idea. It's not. It's an idea based in truth and reality. And as we move toward a technological civilization, science, actual science, not this pseudoscience that Dr. Fauci decides is science, separate 6 feet and wear a mask. You know, no, the people that were telling the truth about science, they were excluded from that conversation. They were deplatformed. They were defrocked. Robert Malone and others who had the audacity to stand up and tell the truth, they found out how quickly the truth works in a world of absolute delusion. So the truth comes with a price tag, a willingness to stand when you know that it's right and when you know that it's true. And it comes with the humility to be wrong, and it's okay to be wrong because we're all growing. And we're not all in the same place at the same time. Each one of us has come a different path to get here. And it was a rough path. If you're listening to this phone call, you've been through some trials. You've been through some tribulations. You've been through some gaslighting and ostracization. Guarantee it. We all share that in common. The truth, again, is the narrow road. It's a one-way ticket to the kingdom of heaven, and those that follow the way of truth, follow the way of life. It is the most difficult challenge that we have to undergo because it creates the most stress in us. About the time we think we got it, we learned something. Oh, it changes everything. You know, inside the truth, there's no contradictions. It's called the law of non-contradiction. Inside the law of non-contradictions, if you come to a place in your life where there's a contradiction, that means you got to go back up the logic train and re-examine how you got here to this place where you're living inside of a contradiction. And you've got to re-examine the premise and change the premise because you've got a flawed premise. Either both premises are flawed or one of them is flawed. You know, that's how AI works, you know. AI has an algorithm like that. So that's how it learns, and that's the artificial intelligence. We do the same thing. It's subjective programming. We're all programmed a certain way by our religion, by our family, by tradition, through schools, perspectives. You know, we have a body of knowledge, and we like to be right about the body of knowledge, and what we do like to do is surround ourselves with people that all agree with us. Because I like being right. Favorite thing in my life is being right. I love it when I'm right. Hate it when I'm wrong. I love looking good and I hate looking bad. And everybody shares that common denominator, and it has its source in our ego. And our ego is really where a lot of our power comes from, if not all of our power. I like to say, I'm not saying this is true, but based upon my studies, it sure appears like an ego is a very immature soul. Ego can accomplish a lot. Soul is the most valuable asset. That's what the enemy needs to continue in the quest to dominate the planet. You know, you've heard the tolls. You've heard the adage, you know, selling your soul to the devil, selling your soul to Satan. A lot of people have done that without even realizing it. When, to the degree that we want to be part of the world or we derive our sense of security from the world is the degree that we sold our soul to the devil. We sold ourselves to the narrative that is not true. We sold ourselves inside of a world that thrives on narratives. Choose one. We don't care which one as long as you choose one. And then they still remain in control. They operate inside confusion. They operate inside division and quarreling. As long as we're divided in our religion and divided in our republic, as long as we're divided in our country and the words become empty and meaningless, one nation under God, we don't even think about what we're saying. In that degree is the degree that they rule and reign over us. That's the principalities and the powers that we're actually fighting. So about the time we think we got it together, about the time we think we understand, we come into some more understanding. And then we feel frustrated again, and we feel the stress. And we wonder if it'll ever end. Is there any area of our life that hasn't been tainted by narratives? No. Truth is, I love Donald Trump, but I don't trust him. I love Donald Trump. I love Pam Bondi. I love Cash Patel. I don't trust them because power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. And the love of money is the root of all evil. And I'm not making any accusations. I'm just saying the world tempts us with power. Inside the power, we have to subscribe to a narrative relative to that power. And as long as we're in allegiance and in courts and in agreement with that power structure, the narrative of that power, then we're okay. But the minute we challenge that and start looking at it from a place of truth, you know, again, that's where we begin to separate. Yeshua said, don't think I've come to bring peace, but a sword. Division. From now on, a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Well, what that's interesting, because I thought like in his Last Supper, he said, may they be one as we are one. I and you and they and me, talking to his father. The truth is one. The narrative is not one in truth. The narrative is a separation from the truth. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I like to use that as a metaphor for narratives. You know, there's a tree and it's got a root system and leaves and branches and all that. And, you know, you start pulling on the thread and this narrative, you know, what's the truth? And everybody, it's been my experience, everybody that I've ever known that's been a patriot goes down different roads and everybody has the answer. So-and-so has the answer. His answer is better than so-and-so. And, you know, and Paul says, you know, when you're doing divisions like this, one says, I follow Paul, and one says, I follow Apollos. He says, are you not acting like mere men? We are more than mere men and women. We're the children of the Most High. We're the offspring of spirit. America is at a critical crossroads right now. We have to choose between a material path and a spiritual path. And we, for the longest time, have been walking down the material path, the technological society. We've been comfortable inside the narrative. The narrative is being shaken to the core, and we face a very real likelihood. Even now, Trump goes ahead and takes a look to see there's no gold in Fort Knox. He goes ahead with trials of treason. We lose one third of the legislators. We have chaos in Washington, in the states, from all of the people being rounded up for treason or corruption. And before you know it, we actually are having a crisis, but we're not having a crisis of constitution. We're having a crisis of truth, and we're having to re-examine who are we as a republic. The republic is an extension of us. The United States government is an extension of us. We, the people, are sovereign inside the body of Christ. We, the people, are sovereign inside of our respective states. All power comes from us because we are one with the Father, one nation under God. If we're not one with the Father, we're not in the sovereign body politic. You're going to learn that term. Sovereign body politic is the people, we, the people of the United States, the preamble to the United States Constitution, every state, we the people. There's a presumption inherent, if we study the founding documents, that the people are one with the Father, and there's only one source on this planet where you can trace that back, and it's back to the gospel. It was Yeshua that introduced us to the concept that we are one, that there is one nation. That's the kingdom of heaven, the one nation under God. That is America. To the degree that we don't understand that, to the degree that we're in rebellion to that, is the degree that we're having serious problems. If everyone understood that that's not a religious concept, that's not a religious test, okay? It's the truth. And I'll tell you something here we're going to witness in our lifetimes. Science will bear that out. Science and our Father are one. True science is demonstrating the oneness of us all at a quantum level. The oneness of energy, the oneness of spirit. And the sooner that we awaken to that, the sooner that we will be able to lead and serve in a capacity that the world is so hungry for. The entire creation groans as in the pains of childbirth, waiting for a body of people to come along and be revealed that are finally telling the truth. The truth about reality, the truth about government, the truth about science, the truth about name it. We are hungry. We are living on a planet that is hungry. We are so tired of the delusion. And you know, I'll speak for myself. I love Trump and I love what he's doing. He's pulling back the curtain like little Toto in, you know, Kansas, you know, and the Wizard of Oz, you know, and the wizard is to pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, but here comes the curtain. And you know what? Little Toto there is revealing everything for what it is. And it's kind of an exciting ride. I feel like, you know, after years and decades of being on a slow train wreck, now we're on this roller coaster ride where we got to the top and we're on our way down. And it's like, whoa, and there's twists and turns I'm getting off on it. I am just absolutely amazed. And it's worse than I imagined it to be. I wasn't taught this in church. I wasn't taught this anywhere. I knew it was bad. I was nowhere close to what's being revealed, the corruption to the core. Now, moving back, don't want to get too far off into that. This conversation is about one nation and how we, as a republic, we are not powerful. We don't hold positions of power. We hold interim positions in faith and hope and trust that we could occupy a spot where, should this republic completely collapse, which it very well may, because of the Federal Reserve System getting audited and a discovery of corruption and some missing gold in Fort Knox and a falling apart of the faith in the American Federal Reserve note as the world's reserve currency. When people's faith gets shaken to the core like that, and we're facing extinction and we're facing the fall of our nation. And here's something I want to throw this in. Throughout history, when nations have fallen, the last thing that happens during the fall is the politicians start raiding the treasury. They they start taking everything they can because they know this thing's going down, and they figure, well, no one's going to catch us because our nation's collapsing. Well, you know, they didn't see Pam Bondi, Donald Trump, and Kash Patel coming along. These people, I'm convinced, they thought they were in the clear. They didn't see Donald Trump getting reelected. He got reelected. Now, this is so frustrating for me. I know that Donald Trump is a necessary individual to come along, and his courage is inspiring, and his faith and his leadership, the man's he's our hero. He's a hero. He well could be just the latest ruse to keep us trapped in a delusion. We don't know. We have to be willing to just be observers and be willing to watch and you know, study to show ourselves approved. The best thing we could be doing right now is understanding our relationship with the Father, the oneness that we have with our Father, and the oneness that we have with each other. Learning how to get along inside of our disagreements. And inside that, practicing the discipline of oneness. Not the discipline or undiscipline of division and quarreling and the fear. What are we running from something, or are we running towards something? Do we covet an office so that we get to wear this really cool title? What do we need to tear down in order to build up, because we need to be right at the expense of creating division when we should be creating unity? Unity in the Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. You know, there's a principle, and then I'm going to wrap it up, in the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. We'll include women in that because in the day it meant both. All men are created equal. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator, who is our Father, with certain unalienable or unalienable rights, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. Whenever a government becomes destructive of this end, the people have a right to alter or abolish it, and that includes the Constitution. If the Constitution is not functioning, but how can a constitution not be functioning if we're not even following it? But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce the people under absolute despotism, the people have a duty to throw off that government and to reinstitute new safeguards for their future security. All evidence has shown that mankind is more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the form of government to which they are accustomed. Inside that, we'll call it a narrative, okay? Thomas Jefferson and the other 56 signers of that document, that was the best they could do for the time they were in. And it was unanimous, and they signed it, and that became the foundation of American jurisprudence. It became the foundation of a new nation. It became the foundation of law. It became the foundation of all of that. So if you erase the Constitution and you erase a criminal government, then the people remain, and those people are the one nation under God. Now, Abraham Lincoln said, it's not our job to overthrow the Constitution, but the people that pervert it. And here's how the Constitution is perverted. It's perverted the same way Scripture is perverted. We project onto Scripture what we think it's supposed to say, rather than reading it for understanding and coming into an alignment with the truth, of which there's only one. There's only one right interpretation of the Constitution, and when we read it rightly, it is a grant and limitation of power on public servants. They are limited, they are granted, and that grant is limited as to what they can and can't do. And what is my experience is that most people never even read the Constitution, let alone understand it. And right now, that's what's happening in America. You know, there's all these challenges to Trump because they can't believe that Elon Musk is out there with his Doge team auditing the government. Well, you know, there's a lot of people that are getting quite an education right now because exactly what is happening is what has been needing to happen for decades. The fallout, though, because Trump decided to be the one to stop kicking the can down the road, could be horrendous and likely will be. And that's where we come in. We're here to shore up the Republic by standing in the place as being an interim government in form. So far, just form, not substance, because we're interim. And here, I got to just talk about this question, okay? What does it mean, fake? What is fake? What is real? Has anybody been to the border in their state where you're adjoined to another state and you looked on the ground? Did you ever see a border down there? No, because there's no line there. The line exists on a map. Well, the line, is it a fictitious line because it doesn't exist? In law, it's called a legal fiction. There's a lot of legal fictions in law. The state of Colorado is a legal fiction. It doesn't actually exist. It exists by agreement. It exists by a constitution because a group of people came together, wrote a constitution, created a state called Colorado. All right, so here we are inside the Republic. It's my understanding that we're operating from a place of the territory. So here in Colorado, we're operating inside an idea. It's an idea. So for someone to say your idea is fake, you know, that's who gets to decide what's real? Who gets to decide what's real? Well, you know, whoever's the most persuasive one around, I suppose they could, you know, if they need something from you or they want to delude you, you know, they can con or talk or whatever. Maybe that's what Trump's doing. You know, what's real? It's hard to know what's real because, you know, there's the distinction again between reality and fiction, between reality and the narrative. So we're living in a time, folks. Yeshua said that, and I believe this is the time that he spoke of, where the deception would be so great that even the very elect could be deceived. The deception is a narrative. To the degree that we get pulled out of the truth and into the narrative is the degree that we're confused, is the degree that we're under stress, especially if we love the truth. It's like running a race and there's another hurdle in the way. Or it's like climbing, you know, going mountain climbing and then there's a false, you know, the false peak and you get to the top of it. I thought that was the top and oh no, there's another one. But that's okay because, you know, we keep trekking. It's been my experience that about the time you think you understand the principles of American law and American jurisprudence and the history of the world and how we got here, about the time you think you know it, you learn something else and somebody's got a better idea or somebody says, oh, so-and-so is wrong because this is the way it is. Stop it. Just stop it. It's not about the puffing up the chest and having more knowledge than somebody or having a position or even having more followers. You know, we shouldn't want to have followers. I mean, Messiah didn't want followers. He said to the 12, he says, why are you guys still here? He says, because you have the words of life. I mean, having followers is a burden. It's a heavy burden. Because if anyone misleads anyone, it'd be better that a millstone was tied around their neck and they were cast into the ocean. People that like to mislead and create quarreling and strife and division, you know, what is your motive? What are you doing? Why are you doing that? Why? And we live in a world like that. Why are you doing that? Why? Why do we have so many different denominations? Why? Well, it comes down to the need to look good and be right and not willing to be wrong. And for some reason, people derive a sense of status and importance out of having the right answer, or at least in their mind, having the right answer, and putting others down that don't have that same answer. You know, we're walking in this walk together. The only way we can be one is by a willingness to be wrong. And maybe I'm wrong, and maybe some of the stuff I've said tonight is not true. But that's okay, because I'm willing to be wrong. And you know what? Even somebody confronts me, and it's a little embarrassing someday. You know, David, you know, you said that. You know, it is a little embarrassing, but it's okay, because you know what? I survive it. And then I'm stronger because of it. And then my foundation's even stronger. And then I walk in real humility, which is a willingness to be wrong. That's what humility is. It doesn't mean being a doormat and letting people walk all over you. It means a willingness to be wrong and being okay with the humility that it engenders. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. That's the light of the world. That's the salt of the earth. That's the gospel of Christ. The kingdom does not come with careful observation, nor will people say, lo here or lo there, because the kingdom of heaven is within us. Well, you know what other kingdom is within us? The kingdom of the world is within us. And so the battle between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of the world is within us. The kingdom of heaven is reality. It is within us. Yeshua is king now. He always has been king. He spoke from a place of being a king, and even Rome distinguished him as king. Shall I crucify your king? Said Pilate. No, we have no king but Caesar. Let his blood be on us and our children. Say the Edomites that were impersonating the Jews, that had infiltrated into the church of the day, and they were pretending, they were being fake, and Messiah called them out. So, you know, the world is full of fake. The world is full of delusion and trickery and deceit and cons. I mean, that is the world. That's how the world works. But the kingdom, people of the kingdom, you know, again, Yeshua said that even the very elect could be deceived if it was possible. So I always like to err on the side that, okay, well, I might be an elect and I might not be. If I, you know, I'm going to err on the side that I'm not, and I know I can be deceived until such time as I come into a communion with the Father, and maybe I'm walking on water, but I haven't reached that time yet. So I'm always careful what I take in. I'm always, you know, cautious of my diet, and I listen, and I don't listen from a place of needing to make someone wrong. Oh, I need to make you wrong so that I look good. You know, there's an epidemic of that going around. Not just America, but, you know, the entire planet. One nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. That's the goal. That's the objective. That's our pledge. That's what we said. If we really believe in the word, if we really believe that in the spirit is the truth, and we're really making every effort to enter into that one truth and come out of the delusion that has us all trapped, if we're walking in that spirit, then you know what's going to happen. We're going to divide the people that are operating inside of a narrative from us. We're going to become stronger in the truth. The Holy Spirit will replenish our strength, and the world will come into the fullness of the kingdom. And as long as we're operating in that one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all, we will come into the fullness of what we're called to be. And inside that, no weapon forged by man will destroy us. That is the path that I choose, and that's the path that I make every effort to live. Still skin my knees every once in a while, but that's okay, because I have forgiveness, and I'm so happy, because, you know, sin just has its way of being there constantly, because that's inside the narrative. And so when myself struggling, I realize, okay, here I'm in a narrative again. What's the truth? I'm going to say that's it for tonight. I appreciate the listening ears, and I appreciate you letting me share my heart. If anybody would like to, you know, interject or have some questions, I'd be willing to entertain them. So thank you for listening. I appreciate you all.
David.
Good evening, Justice. This is John Herman again.
Hi, John.
Hey, if I may offer a thought, I love what you had to say tonight. It was incredible. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's my understanding that quote unquote science, the beginning of science, was Christians setting out to discover more about God, much like you can learn things about an artist by the art that they create. They were looking into creation to the extent that they were, you know, technically capable to learn more about God, and that is in the pursuit of truth. And again, that's my understanding of the foundations of science, as maybe. And I love the fact that you bring up Paul, because Paul said, "The very thing I hate to do, I do, and the very thing that I need to do, I don't." I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but you know, he was constantly fighting with the battles within him. Excellent talk tonight. Thank you so much.
Okay, let me throw in on that.
Point of order.
Sure.
David, Justice. This is Patrick McBride, Lieutenant Governor of Colorado. I really appreciate the words you spoke tonight.
Thank you.
I do have a point for everyone to consider. There's a proverb that says, don't forsake the ancient landmarks. Our forefathers in this country were men of letters. They were disciples of Jesus Christ. And I've been studying Equity, the Jurisprudence of Equity, a book that's really hard to read. It was written in 1905. But if you study Equity, the study of Equity, which is based upon God's Word, which is what our Constitution, Declaration of Independence, even the gentleman who jumped off of the Mayflower, were all about equity. We're over a covenant with God that was based upon the gentleman who jumped off that boat. This country was dedicated to God, and we were supposed to be the ambassadors of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. The enemy within us is sly. We know that. We've experienced that currently in our, not only in our Senate, but it's now trickling down to the state level. Our enemy is very slick. He needs rails to run on. And we, as those who are the disciples of Jesus Christ and the purveyors of truth within this republic, need to stand on the bedrock of the testimony of Christ. None of us are perfect. We can do nothing without him. His blood and his body were sacrificed for us so we could stand in truth. We ourselves are flawed, all of us, to a number. But when we stand on the truth and study the words of Yeshua, we will be encouraged. And I want to encourage everyone this night that we're in a time of great controversy, not only within our republic, but in the national stage. And we talk about the Trump administration and what they're doing. The Trump administration right now is busting down the federal government to a point where it'll fit in within the enumerated powers of the Constitution. That is it. It will not be easy. We're going to face lots of opposition. We've seen it in our ranks right now. We've seen people fall right and left amongst us. And I go to Psalm 91 where it says 10,000, right, you know, you're right and left. I mean, I'm doing that. But we all on this call need to stand firm in our faith that, one, Yeshua HaMashiach is our King. And all us humans will fail. But if we stand on his truth, that this country was founded to be the purveyor of gospel to the nation, we will be relieved and we will be guided. So if you're not reading your Bible every day, I don't care what version, the Holy Spirit will guide you to truth no matter what word. But you need to be on your knees in your closet every day with your word, crying out to God for direction, correction, and the direction of this country. And I pray right now over President Geiger, Teddy Meraki, and all the leaders of our country, of our republic, excuse me, that are standing in the gap, that we can come behind them. Now, we've seen governors, senators, we're going to see justices and clerks fall because they've been following the satanic order This is coming because I believe God right now is doing a purge of our republic in order that we could be stood up in the coming days, because I do believe that we're coming to the point where we're going to be tapped on the shoulder and said, go for it. And if our ranks aren't clean, we will fall. With that, I yield, and I give all glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you, David.
Thank you. I concur. I concur, and I want to add to the gentleman that spoke prior. In the Declaration of Independence, our Father is referred to as the God of nature and nature's God. Science and nature are one. There is no separation between our Father and his creation. It's all one. Everything is one. There's one Lord, one faith. There's one kingdom. And the earth is our inheritance. Science helps us understand. And as we progress as a society, as we progress as a people, I mean, you know, 2,000 years ago, they couldn't comprehend what we're experiencing day to day. I mean, look at this. We're able to have this phone call, this conference over electronics. This is real. And so the law of nature and nature's God is a science. God is a science. Our Father is a scientist. I don't understand everything, but I know that we are told, Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one. And we will love our Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. And upon these, all the law and the prophets rest. So, yeah, stand firm. And the truth will come. And we are watching the most amazing time in history. And I'm going to shut up if somebody else wants to throw in.
The floor is open. You can unmute. Press *6 if you don't have a mute button on your phone. And you can ask or add to this conversation.
Hi, this is Karen Reeves. I just want to tell you I really appreciate your wisdom, your knowledge, your background in the history of everything, as well as your in-depth understanding, comprehension of Scripture, you know, and bringing up the concept that we have the right to abolish, because there's been a lot of debate over the idea of, you know, when a constitutional, you know, past constitution says that there's not going to be a religious test. And I don't see making a declaration that I believe in Yeshua and I believe, you know, in Yahweh and that I will stand for him and that I believe that Yeshua came in the flesh, that he's coming back to be glorified in his saints. You know, I don't see that as a religious test because my relationship with him is not religious. And, you know, I often feel that the Kool-Aid that has been trickled down through the matrix, there's been so much Kool-Aid, you know, dished out to everyone in so many ways. Some of us have taken and drank a little bit more than others. Some of us have getting it out of our system. You know, we're all in different points and different places of awakening, I guess is what you just say it. You know, some are more awake to what's been done to us as a whole, you know, deliberately, this whole satanic, you know, absorption of trying to get everybody to tolerate everybody. But you're not supposed to stand up for what you value. You're not supposed to stand up for God because, you know, you're supposed to be a quiet little mouse and let everybody trample on you. I don't buy that. I think we're supposed to, you know, we're supposed to take it by force. We're supposed to stand for what the Lord said. Because if we don't stand for what the Lord said, if we don't stand up and firmly plant our feet and not do a flip-flop like a light switch to see which side is going which way, if we don't stand up for what we believe, we're wishy-washy, lukewarm folk. And I don't want to be spit out of his mouth. I'm not going to be standing there and get accused of being lukewarm. I am going to speak, and I am going to stand up for what's right. by the word of God, not because it's me, you know, that should be right, but it's because what he says. It's not a Karen Republic, as I actually had somebody say to me. It's a God Republic. And if we don't get that it's a God Republic, and what was done before was done by different people that obviously didn't have God at the center of their heart, and if we're not willing to throw that out and make it right by the Lord right now, then there's going to come a time when we kneel before him and we are not going to have a chance. We are not going to have a second chance to go back and change our opinion, because our opinion should be nothing. It should be strictly what the Word of God says. And Jesus, Yeshua, said, you don't get to the Father but through me. So if you throw him out and you just want to say, oh, I believe in Yeshua, I believe in Yahweh, but I don't believe in Yeshua. If you throw Yeshua out of the picture, you're going against what he said. You're going against the word of God. You're not going against me. You're going against the word of God. If you're not willing to stand up and be strong about it, he's liable to spit you out of his mouth. I don't want a Matthew 7 where he says, I don't know who you are. I don't know you. Just because you did all these things for me, but you didn't stand up for me. All I'm going to say to all the people on this call is if you aren't dedicated in your heart to stand for the truth that's in the Word of God, I am not going to back down to you. Because I'm going to stand. Because I won't stand before God and have him tell me that I didn't stand for him, and why not? That is a horrific thought, to think that you might stand before God and he could say, I don't know you. I'm not going there. Okay, and I thank you for everything that you're saying. I thank you for your wisdom. And I thank you, and I hope and I pray. Oh, my God, I hope and I pray that everyone get it in their spirit to toss and ask God to throw the Kool-Aid out. The matrix thinking needs to go. It needs to be a God thinking, period. I yield.
Thank you.
Point of order. Point of order, David.
Go for it. Go for it.
Governor Carpenter, good evening, everyone. Welcome to a wonderful call. David, you hit another home run. And brings me back to memories sitting in my living room and other places throughout the years and having similar conversations. What a privilege. I was wondering why it took so long to come up, but I guess you had a special time, and I'm glad you stepped up. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Governor.
You know, this spiritual test, as being the chair of the vetting committee, I've seen a lot of vetting. And the ones that impressed me were the ones that I never had to ask what their relationship was with the Lord. And I felt comfortable in any decision that I was to make with, regarding that person's qualities. I would consider them to be my peer. Now, this is a scary thought. So, when we're coming into unity and we're guaranteed a jury of our peers, do you want some hayseed that doesn't know what color hair they were born with or what gender they were or what God they served on your jury? Well, I know my decision. I don't think they're my peer. And same goes with that spirit that wants to be rebellious and isn't more than excited to make a profession of faith, because it's written that that profession of faith has to come from the lips. That's the Yeshua being the Redeemer. And, you know, if they're balking at that, I guess that's the time that we got to be men and women of valor. Isn't that what we're there for? Guard the gates? So, you know, I find this conversation a little redundant based on the evidence that David's brought to the table today and past 70-some years of experience. And I appreciate you bringing that to light, David. Thank you for letting me speak. God bless. How are you?
This is Representative Mark Binder. If I could have the floor for a little bit. I just wanted to shed a little bit of light. Yes, sir. I just wanted to shed a little bit of light on the religious test in the Constitution. When the Founding Fathers wrote that, they were basically talking about different Christian denominations. They didn't want them to go to blows because a few minor, imperfections, shall we say. So that's what that was directed to, not that other religions are not welcomed in America, with the hope that they will see that the Christian religion is a happy religion, and maybe they would want to consider changing. And so that's about all I have. Also, just want to remind again, if you were looking up any kind of words or anything like that in the founding documents or desert legislation, you want to use the Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, because it's not verbally engineered as some of the other dictionaries are. And that's all I have. I yield. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is that a Webster's 1828 dictionary? To the gentleman that just spoke?
Yeah. Yeah, Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. You can get it electronically, or you can get the hard copy. It's about 4 inches thick, so it's a big book.
I prefer the book. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'm going to go ahead and close in closing prayer. Father, again, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What we each crave is connection. We connect with you and to connect with each other, to be acceptable to you in your sight, in your spirit. As we take the next step in faith, thank you for leading us and guiding us into the truth, where we find the connection with you and each other, so that we may manifest your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Yeshua, our King, I ask and thank you for these things. Amen.
Amen. Well, good night, everybody.
Good night, folks.
God bless.